Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, places, please. The Daily Mix Show is on deck. Guitars plugged in. Drums ready to go. Chickens.
They're a clucking.
Other animals. And action.
This is the Daily Mix Show on The Rock with Taryn Daly and Steve Miggs.
While listening to the Daily Mix Show, please refrain from any unnecessary finger gesturing.
99.9 KISW.
Good morning, Rockaholics. Happy Thirsty Thursday, everyone. It is Thursday, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
It better be.
I was pretty confident about that when I said it. Man, I'm going to have to continue watching my son like a hawk. I know yesterday I told you guys he spent $43 on Google Play on some stupid app that he downloaded on my phone that's a dinosaur game. Well, last night he almost rented a movie.
Oh my goodness, Chris. You need to take all technology away from him. Remote controls, everything.
Oh, see, I was going to go the opposite way and be like, you just need to get him his own credit card, Taryn.
Oh, God. That would be the world's biggest.
Taryn's going to need a second job.
He has no concept of the value of a dollar, like no idea at all. But last night, we were trying to figure out what movie to watch, and he was like, Minions and Monsters. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that was available for streaming already. And he's about to hit the buy button. And I was like, bro, no. So we decided to go back in time and we watched Despicable Me 4 instead.
Right, dude, we've had that happen too.
Oh, my God.
Where one time, like, what did you order? And it was like Clifford's Big Red Dog something. And it was like, she purchased it. And I'm like, we have that. Like, it was on a streaming service too, but for some reason it was on YouTube. Somehow she figured out how to purchase something. I'm like, oh, great, here we go.
These kids, man. But it did also kind of inspire me this morning because we've already been discussing Halloween. I think that Brad and Barrett and I should go as Gru, Lucy Wilde, and a minion.
Who's Lucy Wilde?
She's like the girlfriend that kind of comes along. So maybe that's the Halloween inspiration that I needed, was him almost buying that movie last night.
Which one is the minion?
That's a great question, Danny.
Thank you.
Now that you say it, I feel like maybe Brad should be the minion.
Thank you.
I'm available to be Gru. I mean, if you need a weird-looking bald guy, I'm available.
You're going to drive to Sandwood for Halloween?
Okay, never mind. If you guys come to Puyallup, I'll dress as Gru.
We do a pretty sick hayride in my neighborhood. We trick or treat by hayride, Steve. I could see you really thriving in that environment.
All right, we already have our Halloween plans. I'm so sorry.
What are you going to dress up as?
I think we're going Toy Story.
Yes!
I don't know who's going to be. Tatum wants to be Jessie. She's all about Jessie from Toy Story, and I think it's adorable. So I think we're going to get that costume. I have no idea what. I kind of want to be Forky. But okay. I need to drop a couple pounds before I can pull that off.
The fact that you were a cowboy as a little boy,
I could
mean,
be
you
Woody.
You pretty much already have the Woody costume
but
ready to go.
Also, it'd be pretty badass to have a Buzz Lightyear costume.
Yeah.
Like a good one?
I'd go with the Buzz Lightyear or the Forky because I was Woody and Lily was Jessie one year. Uh-huh. And let me just say, it is not a flattering costume.
I could only imagine.
For your undercarriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got so many comments when I posted that picture of people being like, I don't know what you need to do, but fix that.
You're putting the wood in Woody. Yay! Sorry.
Is your wife going to be Little Bo Peep?
Yes.
That's a good one. We were trying to figure out what she was going to be.
Because, I mean, they all had the hots for Little Bo Peep.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
We figured it out. Halloween's 2 months away, but we're ready.
Dude, you go to the stores, everybody's selling Halloween stuff. We might as well be talking about Halloween stuff.
Here we are. Let's get into the Daily Mix download.
Knowledge is power.
So give us five-ish minutes, and we'll give you some interesting stuff you can talk about at work. This is the Daily Mix download,
aka the DMD.
Here's your daily dose of doings happening in the world.
And the DMD is brought to you by Palace Law. Today it's National Radio Day.
Nice.
So I figured, what better way to celebrate it than to find audio of me on the radio for the first time ever in my life?
Oh my gosh!
Back in, I don't even know when. Back when I was a little kid. Late at night, I would call the overnight sports talk show host Steve Summers on WFAN in New York and bother him because I wanted to talk about the New Jersey Devils all the time.
Steve is calling from Brooklyn.
I want to talk about when you talked to an early.
Do you hear the nerves in my voice?
I want to talk about some hockey.
You're so
you talked
cute.
To an earlier about a caller with Sean Burke and the Devils.
Uh huh.
And you said that
at that point you can hear his voice like, "What the hell did my phone screen have put through?"
Uh huh.
And you said that the best thing they should do is probably get a goalie.
Yeah, another goaltender for behind Terreri, one who can play.
I guess the best thing they could do is bring up Brodeur, try to work him in a couple of games.
And it would be worth bringing him up?
I think so. I mean, he proved that he could play, like, in the NHL caliber level.
Now, I might sound nervous, but I was right. Martin Brodeur became one of the greatest goalies of all time.
Look at you!
Steve, thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, Bruce is calling.
This mother effer hung up on me so he could talk to Bruce.
Well, Bruce might have had better insight.
Bruce knew jackass about the Devils.
My God, you sound so cute. Also, that accent.
It was
my,
there.
My.
Steve is calling from Brooklyn.
I want to talk about...
The nerves
talk.
In those voices. I was so
I
nervous.
Talk.
I think
I
you
talk.
Need to talk like that every time you talk about the Kraken from now on.
I want to talk about the Kraken. Hey, the Seattle Mariners. What did I say, guys?
Okay.
I told you, you need to hit rock bottom before you can turn things around. I got to be honest. When I turned on the game and it was like 7-1 or something like that, I'm like, let's go Mariners, get double digits. And then they almost blew it.
Dude, I was like, what are we doing, guys?
I was like, I would be so sad if they blew it and wasted a good game by Josh Naylor. It was just, it was a Dominic Canzone also had a good game. But yeah, the Mariners ended up beating the Brewers 7-5.
Yeah.
They're back at it again today. They could win the series, which would be hilarious.
Never doubted them.
22-0 and you still take the series. The game's at 11 o'clock this morning. There's still four games out because the stupid Houston Astros won yesterday.
Tacoma's Soundview Little League opened the Little League World Series with a 2-0 win over Alabama in extra innings yesterday.
It's a celebration.
The game remains scoreless until the seventh inning, and that is when Kaysen Workman delivered a 2-run single to put Tacoma ahead. It's Soundview Little League's first ever trip to the World Series, and the victory keeps Tacoma moving through the winner's side of the tournament. I got to watch a little bit on my phone while I was getting my hair done yesterday.
Nice.
I was so excited.
Well, when I was a kid, I called WFAN in New York and told them about this Kaysen Workman kid and how he's one day going to be a star player for Soundview.
You had that insight, Steve.
So what happens next?
Who do they play next?
I have no idea. But hopefully the winning ways continue. Yeah. But that's
something to be excited about here.
We
in
are
Seattle.
The biggest Soundview Little League baseball
it's
team
true.
Fans.
It's
yes.
true.
Hey, congratulations, Washington State. A new study ranked us as the third most social media addicted state in the country, only behind New York and Virginia.
Oh.
They looked at a bunch of Google searches and things along those lines, and apparently Washington recorded a bunch of social media-related searches, and that's why we're considered one of the more addicted states when it comes to social media.
Go, Washington.
Tonight, you got some preseason games. Houston's taking on the Raiders, and then also the Chargers are taking on the 49ers. Those games are going to be the latter ones on the NFL Network, and the one before is ESPN.
So nice.
There you go. As far as weather, in a high of 81 degrees, it's going to be a cloudy day today. That is the DMV brought to you by Snoqualmie Casino and Hotel, and that's what's up.
The Daily Make Show.
It is time to step it up, Rockaholics. Kicks for Kids is happening right now with our friends at Mary's Place, and we have a goal of raising $20,000 that will allow us to put brand new sneakers on a ton of kids who could really use that extra boost of confidence as they're getting ready to go back to school. Who is donating as of late, Steve Miggs?
Big thanks to Jennifer Pereira, donated $100. Shelly Moody donated $25, and then Kristen Savarell donated $169, joining the 69 Club. Any amount
nice.
Helps. And yesterday we said we'd like to finish the show by getting at least $6,000 raised. We did surpass that. Thank you, Rockaholics. So now we're at $6,217 raised, getting closer and closer to $20,000.
Let's keep it rolling. You can head to KISW.com and make a donation to support Kicks for Kids. Thank you, Rockaholics.
Bruce is calling.
We got a voice message about Frank Beard, who passed away just a couple of days ago.
Rest in peace, Frank Beard. It's crazy to think that I just saw ZZ Top play here, which got me wondering, for you guys, is there an artist that you're so glad that you saw perform live before they left us? I know it's a dark question, but I think for a lot of us music fans, we probably have a story or two about that.
No, I don't think, I don't know if the voice message person knows that that wasn't Frank Beard that was playing. I didn't know because I wasn't there, but apparently Frank did not play drums with ZZ Top when they came to town.
No, I think he stepped away from touring in, I think it was spring of 2025 was kind of when he hung up the sticks. But yeah, I mean, I actually did get to see him perform with ZZ Top a couple of years ago. And I mean, I would definitely put that on my list, just seeing ZZ Top in general.
Yeah, I've never seen ZZ Top. And I mean, thankfully, they're still. I love that that band, like, they almost had like an exit strategy. I know it sounds terrible, but like, in a sense, like, you know, Dusty passed, and so it's just Billy now.
Yeah.
But it sounds like as if all the members have said, like, hey, keep this band going when I'm not around anymore.
I love that. I think if you keep the music going, then their legacy just lives on in that way. And I think it's really important.
Plus, in a way, it kind of shuts up all the fans that want to argue about, you shouldn't be doing this. Like we should be the ones that determine how they grieve and determine how they should continue on with their lives.
Sure.
So do you have one, though? I mean, besides ZZ Top.
Gosh, you know, I guess there's one artist that I just wish I had seen more often. I saw Chris Cornell a couple of times.
That was going to be my answer. I'm with you.
Saw him once with Audioslave, once with Soundgarden, once with Temple of the Dog. And it's the Temple of the Dog performance specifically that I'm so glad I got to see.
Yeah.
So that would probably be one for me. I stole your answer.
No, it's fine. I had a couple. But Cornell one, I feel very lucky that I got to see him with the Audioslave stuff. Also, Soundgarden, when they reunited. I wish I could have seen that one at the Showbox when they did that one.
Gosh.
But still, Temple of the Dog. And I saw a few of his like solo acoustic and solo performances where he had a backing band, which was always really cool. But then the next one that popped into my mind was seeing Scott Weiland.
Oh my gosh.
And both with Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
And then also with Velvet Revolver, which I recently was having that argument with a buddy about which is the better supergroup, Velvet Revolver or Audioslave. And my knee-jerk reaction was Audioslave, but then I started thinking about that debut album by Velvet Revolver. I'm like, man, that is a classic album.
That's a good call, Steve.
So yeah, I'm going Scott Weiland. Danny, how about yourself?
I don't know if I haven't seen a lot of people that have passed away. Like,
interesting.
So it's like, I was thinking,
so the key to longevity in music is to do pop, punk, and emo songs.
Yeah, 'cause they're all so young.
They're all so spry and 20 years old. No.
And also they're getting all their emotions out in the songs. Yeah. So they don't bottle it up.
But the ones that like I wanted to see, Chester.
Yeah.
Linkin Park. I wanted to see Linkin Park before Chet. And like, it was one of those bands that like they were huge for me in middle school, but then they kind of like, you know, fell into the background and then I didn't listen to them as much. So I never had, they were never on my priority list to go see. Mm-hmm. But they played with everyone. They played with The Offspring. They played with Green Day. And I just never got to see him. And then it was like, okay, he died in 2016 or 2018, whatever it was. 17, whatever. And I was like, man, I never got to see. And then seeing them last year with.
Which was cool.
The new scene, it was cool. But it was like, I never got to see the original lineup. And that just makes me sad.
That's one of the ones where I look back, I'm like kind of feeling very fortunate. I was working at the end because I don't think I appreciated it at the time. I always liked Linkin Park, but I remember going to see them because it was like a work event. Like, let's all go see Linkin Park. And it was at like, I think the Paramount or something like that. And it's just crazy to think now. You know, that's a band that like has become one of my all-time favorite bands. At the time, I was just like, "Oh, they're pretty good. They're no Limp Bizkit, but they're pretty good."
They're no Limp Bizkit.
The Daily Mix Show.
I mean, nobody can compete with Limp Bizkit.
You know what? Now looking back, I was right. No band is like Limp Bizkit.
206-803-ROCK. Can you tell us about an artist you're glad you got to see before they passed away? We would love to hear from you right now, so please call in. 206-803-ROCK. What artist are you glad you saw before they passed away? 206-803-ROCK. We're going to take your calls after Nirvana.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a voice message about Frank Beard, in case you missed it, who passed away just a couple days ago.
Rest in peace, Frank Beard. It's crazy to think that I just saw ZZ Top play here. Which got me wondering, for you guys, is there an artist that you're so glad that you saw perform live before they left us?
So we wanted to ask you, Rockaholics, what artist are you glad that you got to see before they passed away? And our number is 206-803-ROCK. Bree on I-5, what artist are you glad you got to see before they passed away?
I got to see Shannon Coon from Blind Melon.
I am so jealous. Right? That's amazing.
And I didn't quite understand how amazing it was. I was 14 years old. Yeah. It was my first concert.
And who took you to your first concert, Bree?
you know what? Oddly enough, my brother did. It was Blind Melon was opening for Lenny Kravitz, who actually was a good friend of my brother's. I got to go backstage, meet Lenny, all the things. Lisa Bonet, because he was with her at the time.
Oh, that's incredible.
If that's your first concert experience, that's setting the bar quite high.
I know. And the next was Beastie Boys at Lollapalooza. I've been blessed.
I didn't even think about that. You win, Bree.
I didn't even think about the fact that we can't ever see the Beastie Boys again anymore. I'm glad I got to see them a couple
for
of times.
Sure.
Yeah. But Shannon Hoon, those two Blind Melon records are albums that I will go back and listen to at least a few times a year.
Definitely.
I just absolutely love that band.
206-803-ROCK, Michael in Arlington. What artists are you glad you got to see before they passed away?
Hi, good morning, guys.
What's up, Michael?
How's it going? Yeah, I saw Slipknot back in 2004 before Joey Jordison died, and he did the thing with Tommy Lee. He was spinning in a cage. He was spinning. Oh, it was so raw. It was so awesome.
Yeah, Slipknot. I mean, the first time I ever saw them, I was like, "What is this madness?" I'd never seen anything like it.
But I remember the time when I think it was like kind of around right before he ended up leaving the band.
Yeah.
You remember they were supposed to do Pain in the Grass.
Yeah,
and we had a. They had to cancel their show, even though the entire band was there. But Joey was dealing with some stomach issues, which some believe maybe it was something else. But they were not able to perform because of Joey, and that was a tough thing to then see how like kind of life went for him afterwards.
For sure,
yeah.
206-803-ROCK, Tucker in Poulsbo. What artist are you glad you got to see before they passed?
I seen Jerry Garcia at the Husky Stadium back in, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, possibly. That was a great show. I never seen so many hippies in my life.
I wonder why.
Did you join in?
Yeah. Well, you know, in the stadium, there was a lot, but right across the street, where the parking lot was full of Volkswagen buses that were just catering to people's taste buds. No meat. Everything vegetation, all the like spaghetti was just marinara, no ragu. It was awesome.
What?
Awesome show.
And I bet there was a little bit of a cloudy environment going on.
Definitely.
Even if it was sunny out, it was very cloudy over there.
206-803-ROCK, Tacoma Bob in Tacoma. What artist are you glad you got to see before they passed away?
Good morning, everybody. Well, I'm out here on the water, so you know the drill if I get a fish. But anyhow, I was a child or a teenager of the 60s and 70s, so I was able to indulge in concerts when the tickets were $15 to $25. Aww. And I saw Jimi Hendrix at 6 Seattle Stadium. I saw Led Zeppelin play at Green Lake. I saw the Stones and the Culture. So I saw a lot of concerts, but by far and away, the best showman and interaction with the audience had to be Tom Petty. Mm. Each concert that he had was better than the last, and I feel very fortunate to have seen him every time he came to Seattle.
Bob, that's saying a lot, because you said that you saw Led Zeppelin at Green Lake, which I think would be like a time machine, would love to go back and experience that. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was crazy. There was, it was outdoor at the amphitheater at Green Lake, and it was the last concert they had there because they deemed that it was unsafe for concerts. But, you know, back then, cheeseburgers were 30 cents, gas was 30 cents a gallon, and, you know, and there was no real worries in the world, and everybody was happy, and that was what went on at that concert. It was just everybody having fun.
It's sad to say that, like, the tickets that you're spending money on back in those days, that wouldn't even cover the service charge now.
No. Why like do you have to say it?
But it's true. Steve. Like, service charges are like $40 these days. It's ridiculous. And who are we servicing? The robots?
Yeah. It sounds like it.
Man, they're expensive, these robots.
The Daily Mix Show.
Do you think that you can take down Steve Miggs? He has 224 wins, 135 losses, and 63 ties so far this year. Our number is 206-803-ROCK, and we're going to play a game of Beat Miggs at 650.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.